Words fitly spoken.
Our lesson is taken from the words of Solomon, the wise man, and reading a few selected scriptures from the third chapter of 1 Kings, we find that it was in Gibeon that the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of my David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing: "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise any like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." And in the fourth chapter, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled all the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard his wisdom." And in the 10th chapter, we read of the time when Queen of Sheba went to visit Solomon, and Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and all the house that he had built, she said, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told." Solomon, we realize, it didn't speak any of these proverbs in his own wisdom. It was by divine inspiration, coming from God, the Father of light, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And it was because of his request was not for riches, but for a wise and understanding heart. He didn't ask for long life or victory over his enemies, but this speech which he had was like which there was none before, and which should none be after. We do have a text of scripture in the New Testament, however. Remember where the Lord said there was a greater than Solomon. And we realize this was the Lord himself. Yes, King Hezekiah was one of the good kings of Israel who pleased the Lord. And he was a follower of the wisdom of Solomon and all of these proverbs and sayings that Solomon had given. And he instructed his scribes to write down many of these proverbs. And we find these in the book of Proverbs. And we turn to Proverbs, the 25th chapter, Proverbs, the first chapter. And we read where he had pleased the Lord. Proverbs 1:1-3. And the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, and to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. These were wonderful words, things that oftentimes when a perplexing question comes to our mind, we would say, oh, if we could only have the wisdom of Solomon. A wise and understanding heart. But these things were proverbs that were written for us. And if we have any special question, problems perhaps, we can go to the Word of God, and primarily perhaps to the words of Solomon in his proverbs. These proverbs were a collection of divine wisdom that was applied to the people of God. And these proverbs of Solomon implies that he had gathered an orderly arrangement of all these sayings that had already currently existed among the people. But the main object of Solomon that he had in mind was to inspire a deep reverence for God and to supply that love and that wisdom that would come from the Heavenly Father. In Proverbs, the 25th chapter, from which our text is taken, 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And I like the lambs that are sitting on that. They're like pictures of gold in settings of silver, or a frame of silver. And thus these words that are timely spoken are contrasted perhaps to a yellow basket of gold with this, of silver, with this golden fruit, which is so pleasing to the eye. Divine fruit. Those thoughts which come from God Himself. And thus, as we think of this, they might be termed picture work. Apples of gold in pictures or settings of silver. And so it is that words that are timely spoken, that's what the word fitting means, timely spoken, have an effect upon our lives and influence our actions, whether for good or for bad. We have to ask ourselves the question, are we listening? Have we been listening these past 6 days to these words of truth? Sometimes we listen, goes in one ear and out the other. But it has to stick to have any influence upon our lives and upon our characters, upon our development as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And if so, our lives will be in harmony and in conformity with the divine standard. It's not only the words that we hear that have to inspire us, but it also affects our spirit. And what is our spirit? We heard from our panel. Remember, we're talking about words. It's also the spirit that's necessary. Remember when the woman at the well, our Lord met her, and he said, you must serve the Lord. How? In spirit and in truth. It isn't only in the knowledge of the truth, but it's also in the spirit. Yes, but we do need the knowledge also. But how important it is that with words comes the power of suggestion. This causes action. And remember the words of a very beautiful being called Lucifer. In the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, remember how his beauty must have been dazzling to us. In the 28th chapter, Ezekiel. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, so forth and so on. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked upon up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. Can you imagine Eve seeing this beautiful being? How could he ever have spoken a lie? Yes, Eve was deceived. How could he speak anything but the truth? But he did. It was purely satanic. He was being proud and ambitious. He wanted to be set upon the sides of the north, to be like the Most High. And it was following this that, remember, in Genesis, the 9th chapter, we read that the whole world was of one language. They were of one speech. And as a result, they decided that they would build a tower to themselves. And in this tower, the purpose of this was that they would stay together. They failed to recognize that God had commanded that they disperse throughout all the earth to fill the earth. So they built this tower. They said, let us make a name for ourselves and a tower. Make a name for ourselves. Set ourselves up also. But then it was that the Lord scattered their tongue. Remember how it was changed? He confounded their words and effectively blocked the progress in knowledge and in language and the purpose of constructing this tower. Think of the confusion, the different tongues, the philosophies, and the doctrines. And some of these have remained unto this day. Words fitly spoken? No, the words were of pride and ambition. And Israel also had a similar problem. Remember, they failed to keep the covenant of God. They strayed from the covenants of God. And in Hosea, the 4th chapter, the Lord tells Israel, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Why? Because there is no truth. There is no mercy nor knowledge of God in the land. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. Israel had forgotten the law. They had forgotten the words that had been fitly spoken. They forgot what the Heavenly Father had done for them. And now he says they were destroyed for lack of knowledge. That knowledge might have been some of the doctrines that they had been taught. Are we forgetting? Are any forgetting the doctrines today? Are they dispersing into other lands? Yes, The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth nor mercy. Are we going to follow those in the land? There is a shaking going on. Remember, the Lord said in Haggai, I will shake the heavens and I'll shake the earth. And sometimes our heavens are also being shaken, brethren. It's sad to say. But there is a sifting going on that we've heard about. This sifting is sifting out the true grains of wheat. Yes, and as this sifting has been going on, it's still going on in Israel. We just heard this morning that CNN News reported, and I didn't hear this, they reported that those Jews in Israel who become Christians are no longer wanted. They must leave. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Israel, the people of God, the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. They don't want the Christians. Leave. That's on the news. And so it is that this is understandable. As error enters in, we see that we're closely getting to the kingdom. We're nearer to the kingdom day by day. And it's in the Lord's plan that this is necessary, preparatory for the new order. This sifting that's going on. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, remember what our Lord tells us? Matthew 10, 34 to 36. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword to sift out the wheat. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. What does that mean, brother? It means that Satan is still a wily foe, seeking whom he may devour, and he's entering into our own households. Setting a son against the father. And we've seen that happen, even in our own midst. But, in the Lord's plan, I guess this is necessary, to prove those who will be his. Remember, it was in the general chaos at the time of Noah. When there were the great scoffers in the land, saying, where is the sign of his presence? They wouldn't believe. Peter says, for this they are willingly ignorant. They would not believe. What does that mean? They're willingly ignorant. They will not see. Another version. Yes. As in the days of Noah, they knew not. Reading the words of the minor and the major prophets of our Lord and the apostles, we see and know that what power that they had on mankind back there. And in these last days, wherever the Bible has gone, there has been an enlightenment. Those who have had an honest, good and honest heart have received the word of truth. And there's been a major transformation in their lives. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, unto your feet. Yes, in this major transformation, he tells us that we are to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's all a mental process, isn't it, brethren? Sometimes, as one of the brethren mentioned, things that we would not do, those things we do, the things that we would like to do, we don't do. But that's the flesh that's working. But it's this new mind that is being transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be holy and acceptable unto God. And then the Lord tells, or prays to the Heavenly Father, sanctify them through thy truth, through the word of truth, for thy word is truth. And these are the words of God, fitly spoken for each one of us, though they may be inspired by the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus. We must ever keep in mind the words which have been fitly spoken. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, in the 8th verse, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that wherein I have sent it." Yes, and it shall prosper in this thing. And so, as we think of these words fitly spoken for us in the Word of God, and in the, as we mentioned, in all these 3,500 Proverbs and Songs of Solomon, we don't have time to read hardly but a few of them. You can get those answers for yourself, but search we may for many years. And still we're going to find some new ones that we have never read before. But to make these words our own, remember the Apostle Paul tells us to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Yeah? And I like the words in the Diaglot, examine all things. And as we examine them, we prove them for ourselves. We need to have a thus saith the Lord for what we believe. We can have differences of opinions, and that's good. It makes us want to study. It makes us want to get together and think on these things. If we just sit by ourselves at home, we may never get different thoughts. And different thoughts are good. They help to build us up. It makes us study, examine these things, so that we can prove them for ourselves. But just because I say it, or you say it, that's all right. But what does the Scripture say? In Acts, the 8th chapter, we have an incident where words fitly spoken were necessary to show forth the glory of God. This is regarding Philip, who was witnessing to this Ethiopian eunuch. This eunuch was an advisor to the Queen of Ethiopia, I'd say was Secretary of the Treasury. And he had undoubtedly a man of some influence and wealth, high in the realm of Ethiopia. He had been to Israel, and possibly a Jew, because We know that he was reading from the book of Isaiah on his way home, standing up in his chariot reading, and recall the account how after he had traveled a long distance, he had purchased this expensive volume, and traveling alone, he was reading out loud, and it's to such that the Lord draws nigh. Those who want to know what the will of God is, and to have a better understanding of the plan of God. And as he was riding along, Philip heard him reading this book of Isaiah. This is in the 8th chapter. And the eunuch answered in the 34th verse, and answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, Isaiah, and preached unto him Jesus. I can imagine what he spoke to him about the plan of God, about the good news, the gospel. What else do we have to talk about? And all the ramifications, of course. I'm sure he spoke to him, told him about our Lord as the ransom for all, talked to him about the call of the church, probably talked to him about justification, baptism, yes, and restitution. That was a good part of the message back then, wasn't it? It was spoken by mouths of all God's holy prophets since the world began. I don't think Philip left any of that out. Some of us think that perhaps restitution is too simple a thing to really talk about. But that's what really drew us to the Lord in the first place, isn't it? Knowing about the blessing of all the families of the earth, coming back into heart harmony with God, the Heavenly Father. However, the eunuch had a right attitude of heart. And as they went on their way, there came a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? The Philip didn't tell him, look, why don't you be baptized? It was the eunuch himself that wanted this service performed. And so the eunuch commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. Rejoicing because he had something given to him that he had never had before. It was understanding of these words that were fitly spoken. What a wonderful thing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And then turning to another incident where words were fitly spoken, that were given as instruction to one who had a proper attitude of heart. This is in the 10th chapter of Acts. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band, called the Italian band. He was a devout man, and one that feared or reverenced God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. We can't speak of the experiences of Cornelius as being a conversion work. He had already been converted. His mind was in the proper attitude of heart. He wanted to know. And so he needed to have instruction. It was even as the Apostle Paul wanted to know. Remember Paul? He verily thought he did God a service. He was doing what he thought was right. But he was wrong. And it wasn't until he saw that the Lord on the way to Damascus, when he fell down and said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And there he also had his mind opened. Of course, it was several days later, but he did understand the truth eventually. The Holy Spirit opened his mind to see these deep things of God. Deep things? You know, I don't think some of them are very deep. We mentioned restitution, how simple that is. But who on this college campus knows anything about restitution other than you and I? It is a deep thing. Simple, beautiful truth. But these things don't come to us in a flash. The Lord will reveal these things to us if we have the proper spirit and the proper desire for wisdom. It's the same as he gave this wisdom to Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom from God. And that's what we need to ask for day by day. We would imagine that Peter's sermon seemed almost the same as that of Philip to the eunuch when he was talking to Cornelius. Told him things he already knew, and then he told him things that he didn't know. How Christ would be the great judge, and how he had redeemed the race by the giving of his only begotten Son. But God accounted him worthy of the Spirit. In the 44th verse of this chapter, and of Acts 10. "And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word." The Holy Spirit fell on them. "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished." Those are the Jews that had come with Peter. "As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? And he commanded them all to be baptized in the name of the Lord." What a wonderful experience that Peter had to baptize all these Gentile brethren. And as words perhaps indicate the condition of our heart, the Master told us in Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 35th verse, 35 through 37, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Words fitly spoken, rightly spoken, justly spoken. And so it is that our words are under special scrutiny by the Heavenly Father, and it's the same as the wise men penned with the words in Proverbs, the 4th chapter. And the 20th verse. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far away from thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, nor remove thy foot from evil. My son, attend to my wisdom, and bow thy ear to my understanding. Yes, let us think of what is the condition of the heart. Just listen to our words. For the fact remains that our words, our conduct, conversation is an index of our heart. It's an index of our spirit. And so our first concern then should really be for the heart. That every principle of divine goodness and righteousness be enthroned in the heart, in the new mind. And if they are, then out of the good treasure of the heart, the mouth will speak forth words of truth and wisdom and soberness. For ourselves, we must render up our account of every idle or unprofitable word, perhaps by words of repentance, supplemented by the prayers that we offer to God through the merit of Christ, that we shall be acquitted of those things that may be dishonoring to Him. Concerning our Lord Jesus, who is perfect, was said, Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. And Luke tells us, 4:22, that all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? Can this be said of us? Yes, so wise and true and just were our words that our Lord spoke, even to his enemies, even though they continually endeavor to take hold of him. They could not, and they marveled at his answers, and they held their peace. And thus, the Lord has left us an example, which the Apostle Paul urges us to also follow when he says, Let your speech always be seasoned with salt. Colossians 4:6. Salt is not only a seasoning, it's a preserver. Let us therefore preserve the truth in righteousness as we hold forth the word of truth. Keep it clear. Keep the doctrines clear. Hold fast to the doctrines. It's the doctrines that have separated us from the world. That's why we're here today, is because of our doctrines. Some feel that doctrines are not all that important. Love is all the important thing. Love is important. But it's the doctrines that have made a difference for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but the world did not understand the doctrines. Yes, and in view of the fact that we're now on trial for life, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So therefore, in the words of Paul to the Philippians, he said, let our words be as becometh the gospel of Christ. And our prayer should be as that of the psalmist, Psalms 141, 3 and 4. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.